Good morning.
Good morning.
It looked like it was pretty dry on this side of the town. In Discovery Bay, it rained very hard over there today. So I kept thinking, well, no one's going to come to church because it was so intense. But before I get started, I just want to say,
this mic is too far.
Okay. I got little mousy ears, so it's kind of, is it okay now? Oh, no? All right, good. I've been, hi, June. And Grace. Grace is back. Good. How's the baby? How's mommy? Good, good. You guys know she has a new baby, right?
Yeah.
Amen. And Grace has been gone away from us for a long time. It's good to have her back. I've been here since the conception of SP, off and on. And I just want to say that those who have been here from the beginning and those who have been here, I would say at least in the last 2 or 3 years, I just want to say, and my wife want to say to you, that we're very proud of you. We have seen the growth. We've seen where you've come from. And the Holy Spirit has done a fantastic job, is what I see. And I'm so happy to be a part of what he's doing here in SP. I know that many of you have struggles, but you're overcomers. And the fellowship is getting richer. And I'm expecting that the Father is going to do mighty and wonderful things in you and through you. It's just so exciting to watch what is happening with your lives. And I was just telling the Lord the other day, Lord, I just want to recommit myself to the body of Christ. Whatever you want to do. You know, when you're committed to the body of Christ, he will give you even more responsibilities in the heavenlies, authority for the body of Christ. And today my message, I just want to encourage you today. I want to build you up. Something that's been on my heart very much so. At first I was going to talk strictly about what it means to be a son and what it means to be an orphan in the kingdom of God. But I felt the Holy Spirit kept impressing upon my heart to share this with you today. So bear with me today. This message that I'm going to share with you is something that's really developing within me, in my spirit. And a lot of it is, most of it is from my own experience, personal experience. I have to say that I'm totally blessed that I have the wife that I have, because I am learning, well, many different reasons, but I'm learning so much from her. And I'm learning how to love. I'm learning how to be a bride, the bride of Christ, to walk in that. And relaxed men, when I say that, the bride of Christ, the women have to deal with being sons in the kingdom. But we're not talking about the gender or physical part of things. We're talking about the spiritual aspect of things. So, Father, I just ask now that you would just come in a very special way. There's no way that I can share with anyone this message on my heart today unless you open their spiritual eyes to see. I ask for revelation today, my Lord, that you would enlighten us, that we would be able to see who you really are and what your intents are for our lives. We thank you for your love for every one of us. What an awesome, beautiful Father you are. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Well, we know at the beginning of creation, God's purpose was to place mankind on the face of this earth for a reason. And so he placed Adam, who was made in his likeness, made in his image and made in his likeness. And because he placed Adam here, he also placed the house of God here, the kingdom of God, on the face of this earth. And what was the purpose of that? The purpose of placing the house of God here was that Adam and Eve would live out in the fullness of God's presence, his goodness. God is good. And they did at the beginning stages. They were a huge light, more like a beam. They lived out his goodness. The kingdom of God, the kingdom was on the face of this earth being lived out. The kingdom who's ruled by a king. And he placed them here, their purpose was that they would walk in the fullness of their heavenly Father. They'd be fathered by him, loved by him. They didn't know what it meant to be in disharmony. They only knew perfect harmony. They only knew perfect peace. They only knew their father's love for them. They didn't know hate. They didn't know anxiety. That's what their inheritance was. That's the kingdom of God. The norm of the kingdom of God is the love of the Father. The love of the Father flows throughout the kingdom. It saturates the kingdom of God. So that's all they knew, was his love. That's what they received, was his love. Because he doesn't know anything else but love. Your Father in heaven. Okay, and we know that Adam and Eve, eventually they fell. And when they fell, they lost something. You see, they were created to have a body from dirt, to have a soul, to have a spirit. Their soul is where they can make their decisions and so forth. Remember, they're made in the, they're the only creation that was made in the image and likeness of God. So God gives them a spirit. Guess whose spirit he gives them? He gives them his own spirit, that they might live and communicate with him. You see, when God speaks to every one of us, when he communicates to us, he communicates to us through the Spirit. Our relationship with him is through the Spirit of God. Okay? So Adam and Eve were in the Spirit. And they were in that perfect relationship with him every day in the cool of the day, communicating with him. God led them. He blessed them. They were not led by their flesh. They were not guided by their flesh. They didn't have to yield to every wimp, every thought, every need, every desire of their flesh. In fact, they had no shame whatsoever because they were so caught up in the Spirit of God, in his presence. In his presence, there's no shame. In his presence, there's perfect peace. In his presence, there's perfect unity. This is their inheritance, and this is our inheritance. They were living out the kingdom of God on the face of this earth. It was an amazing thing. But once they fell, what happened to them was now they begin to move out of their own flesh. And the flesh says this, take care of me. Flesh has two agendas, my security and my provision. Every man on the face of this earth lives for security and lives for provision. They are nice to you, we're nice to you, but don't mess with my provision and my security. That includes the church as well in many different situations. Adam and Eve lost the ability to be able to communicate with the Father, spirit to spirit. They were in their flesh now. This is the strategy and the scheme of Satan, is to cut off the communication between every one of us as believers and even the world, to keep us from communicating with the Father, spirit to spirit. If he can do that, he can get you just ruling in your flesh, making decisions in your families by your flesh. This is what he wants you to do. But in the spirit, you can't not be rebellious against God when you're walking in the spirit. It's impossible. So they lost that. So here's Adam and Eve. They fell short of their creative purposes. They were put on this earth for the creative purposes of Father God. They became, once they rebelled, they became orphans. An orphan doesn't have a father to give them gifts. An orphan takes care of themselves. They hoard everything. Security and provision is their number one thing. That's the attitude of an orphan. So Adam and Eve became the first orphans. Satan is the ultimate orphan, and they just kind of followed in that position. So they lost the creative purposes that God had for them. But, you know, it's strange because even though they lost their creative purposes on this earth, God still allowed Adam to live almost another 1,000 years. Could I get some water back there, sister? Yeah? Thank you. He lived almost another 1,000 years. And Adam really impacted the human life even today. Because as he lived almost 1,000 years, he established more of a patriarchal society. And in that, it was affected by his soul. It was mixed. So as he multiplied the earth, which he was supposed to do, he would share with mankind the experiences that he had had with God. Thank you. So he mixed it. He mixed it, and then he mixed it with how he saw things himself, his own eyes, through his soul. And as a result of that, even today, the church itself, the body of Christ, in the kingdom, we have a mixture of the world's norms and the kingdom norms. But that's changing in these last days. God is calling us out of the kingdom of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. He's calling the church to a different level now. He wants the kingdom of God and his norms to be expressed through you. That's our purpose. And what is it? I like what Pastor O said. I wasn't here that day, but someone told me the quote that he quoted. That if it isn't wise and if it isn't loving, don't do it and don't say it. Did he say that? Yeah? Amen? Yeah, he said that? Okay. If he didn't, I like it. I like it. Because I'm trying to live by that. That is kingdom norms. If it isn't wise, if it isn't loving, don't say it, let it go. Don't do it, let it go. This is the kingdom living. And so Adam lost something here. The whole world experienced what Adam had experienced in a bit when he was with God, but everything was mixed with rebellion. But God still allowed him to be able to live almost 1,000 years. But there was a purpose for that, because as he establishes patriarchal establishment in the world, God was doing something. God was restoring and will restore in the future that the fathers will return back to the children and the children back to the fathers. Okay? The world is a fatherless world. From way back when Adam and Eve was in this world. All you have to do is look at statistics today. Look around the world and you can see some of the results of fatherlessness in the world. If you look at some of these nations, I won't name them. Some of them raise their children to sell them. Fathers do this to sell them for money. Some of them raise them to hate. Some of them into sex enslavement. There's many atrocities towards children by fathers. Fathers betraying. Fathers unfaithful. If you look at the statistics in America, among African Americans, now is 75% of the families are single parent, being single parented. And the results are devastating, that children grow up without fathers. And so the crime rate goes up. But the Lord says in these last days, I will restore through the spirit of Elijah, the fathers back to their children and the children back to their fatherless, I will strike the earth with a curse. He's doing that. That's a whole other message that maybe someday I'll be able to share that. And so that's what he's doing. But we're talking about the kingdom. That right now the kingdom of God is mixed with the world, and oftentimes we still live out the thoughts and desires and the wants of our flesh in the kingdom, and not living in the spirit. God has called us to live in the spirit. You see, when we begin to live in the spirit, then in this present culture, then we experience the fullness of God. I know that you're looking for this year, SP, nothing will be impossible with God, the year of impossibilities. But are we walking in the spirit? When we walk in the Spirit, there's nothing impossible. You know what one of those impossibilities for me is the fact that God would take a man like me and break the rage in me and give me his gentleness and his control, self-control. My rage in my life at one time was very explosive. All someone had to do is to push a certain button in my life. If they push that button, rage is no control. It's anger that's out of control. And the rage that I had was toxic in the sense that it could kill. And I knew that. So for me, the impossibility, one of those impossibilities, is that the Lord Jesus delivered me from that. I love it. And he's given me control over it, on it. So if anything even started to come up, I now can say, oh, nope, that's not going to happen. Isn't that beautiful? Miracles and things like that, that all comes by you walking in the Spirit as a son. It's very easy. It's nothing that you have to go out and fast for 60 or 70 days. You just begin to walk as a son. And God just pours it through you. But love always precedes power. Now, Adam and Eve were created for God's purposes on this earth. Everything in this world is first natural, then spiritual. And I'm going to really go over this with you in a few minutes. First natural, then spiritual. All of creation in this world speaks the language of God. God speaks to every one of us through creation, what he's created, something particularly about him. And let's see, maybe we can turn to let's turn to Psalms 19. It says in Psalms 19 that the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the works of his hands. Day to day, I'm in verse 2 now, pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the ends of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is the bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end to the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. And then it goes on and says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Everything that he's created declares something about him. I was yesterday morning, I think it was. Yes, I was having a time alone with the Lord. And his presence was very strong. And as I was having this time with him, I was looking out over the harbor because we have a beautiful view of the harbor. And then I saw the sun. And it just kind of peeked out at me, just kind of like a little bit, just peeked out at me. I could just see it. And then it just kind of came up a little bit more over the mountains behind the landscape of the buildings here in Central. I could see it from my building in Discovery Bay. And I just watched it. And the grandeur of it, as it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and I was reminded of chapter 19, of what I just read. It says, where is it at here? In verse, what is it, 2? It talks about the sun. Thank you. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances in the ends of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun. And I could just see, like, the sky was kind of like a tent for the sun. And then it said, which is the bridegroom coming out of his chamber, which confirmed to me what he wants me to share with you today. Now, I was blessed because I know there will be a day when the bride of Christ, which is all the believers who have Jesus dwelling inside of them, will meet the bridegroom. And that's going to be a glorious day someday. We will meet him. But the message that I'm giving you now is about the natural and the spiritual. And I'm going to talk about the bridegroom and the bride. I'm going to talk about marriage in a second, okay? So, all the creation is like that. And then in Romans, you can go to Romans chapter 1. 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Everything on the face of this earth has a purpose, and that purpose is to show us something about God." Something about God. And I can expound on so many things about this nature that tells me something about God, that there is not one thing on this earth that's been presented by God, not one thing that's been presented by God was just placed here at random. There's nothing that's been placed here at random. But everything has its purpose, and everything explains something about our God. That's his intent for every creation. And it's for us to learn what that is. What is your purpose for being on the face of this earth? What's your purpose for being here in 2009? What has God placed inside of you that he might express and live his destiny through you? His destiny through you. What is it? So God says none of us has an excuse. We all see the attributes of God through nature, through everything. In Genesis again, you don't have to go there right now. It says that he created man and women in his image and in his likeness. That means we're like him. He took the man out of woman. Now why did he do that? The question is why? Why would God take woman out of man? What's with that? Why couldn't he just have made the woman just like the man? And say, okay, you're man. And made us all alike, all the same. He could have done that, right? Very easily. But he fashioned the woman to be differently than him. His intent was that all created things will signify something about him. Something different about him. So every male and every female that's been born in this world, there's something about the female that exemplifies and signifies who the father is. There's something about the males that signifies and directs us to something about who he is, what he is like. A woman can't be like me, and a man cannot be like you. We can't do that because we're made differently. I don't know if you ever had a cat for an owner, but I'm not too fond of them, but I do appreciate cats, especially Persian cats. I like looking at them. I'm very fond of dogs because dogs make me feel very good. They stroke me a lot, okay? My dog will come to my door. Anytime I go out my door and come back in, he'll come running to me, licking me. He's so happy. You know, it doesn't matter if I've just been with him and I go out for 5 minutes and come back. He's going to come right back to me again and just love on me. A cat look at you like, you better come to me. You know, a cat may decide to come to you, rub against your leg, maybe. But it's all up to the cat. He's not going to impress you, is he? A cat knows his glory. It's just, especially a Persian cat, they just sit in the corner, wherever they're at, in their glory. Look at me. I'm beautiful. Just look at me. You know, but leave me alone, but look at me. Cats are so different, aren't they? They're not out to impress anyone. They're not out to impress you. They just live in their own glory. I learned a lot about that. Just be. Watch the cat and learn how to just be. The Bible talks about study the ants and become wise. Everything that's created gives us something, some understanding about who God is. Every male and every female. That's how we are to present ourselves to him. The glory that we carry inside is the image and likeness of who he is. Okay, so he took the woman out of man, and then he brought her back to him. He didn't put her back inside. That's impossible. We're talking about the natural. But what was going on here? First it said, the Bible says, that it's not good for Adam to be lonely. But Adam was never lonely. Adam didn't know loneliness in the garden. There's no loneliness in the garden. Why? Because he was in the perfect position. He was in the presence of God every day. You can't be lonely in the presence of God because you're totally transparent. He's transparent with you. Loneliness is when nobody knows who you are. Loneliness is when you suffer and nobody knows you're suffering and you suffer alone. Adam was not suffering, and Adam was transparent, and God filled that place in him. He was never alone. But what did God mean by that? That whole passage is a prophetic passage, word from God. It's always first the natural and then the spiritual. In the Old Testament, it's full of mysteries. But Jesus promises in the New Testament that these mysteries will be revealed to us by the Spirit. Okay? So, what happened in that situation? He was prophesying that one day there's going to be another story. Jesus would not be alone. Jesus' whole purpose was to bring about sons and daughters, children to the Father. That's his whole purpose on this earth. It wasn't just to die for you and I to go to heaven. Your existence here is not just to accept Christ and go to heaven. That's not what it's all about. That is the fruit of what he already did, what Jesus did on the cross. That's the fruit. That is there. That's going to happen. But there's a purpose why he's brought you into the kingdom. One of them is to restore back that communication between your spirit and the Father's spirit so that you can live in the Spirit, so that you can hear his voice, so he can father you, so he can embrace you, so you would know what it's like to live in the kingdom of God in every aspect of your life, especially marriage, if you're married or going to be married. Okay? His purpose is that you become sons and daughters. He calls us sons, everybody, all mankind, sons. That's what he died for. And so our creative purpose on the face of this earth is to live out his creative purpose, his destiny on the face of this earth in every aspect, as a single person and as a married person, through our children and every aspect of our lives, in your jobs, everywhere. The kingdom of God is near. The problem is we have the kingdom of God mixed with a lot of the worldly stuff, and God wants to weed that out. Okay. So this is another story. The other story is, later on, God takes out of the side of another man, which is Jesus Christ on the cross, his bride. By Jesus dying on the cross and shedding blood and water was when the body of Christ was birthed. We were birthed at that moment. And he takes the bride, and now he's bringing the bride back to himself in the Spirit. We are the bride of Christ in the Spirit. Has nothing to do with gender or anything physical. This is a spiritual thing. In the Spirit, there's no such thing as female or male. There's no such thing as bond or free. Slaves or not. There's no such thing as time and space in the Spirit. In the Spirit, we are his sons. We're his children. And so, he brings the bride back to Jesus. That's what he does. The Father's heart is to give his son, the bridegroom, a bride. That's his motivation. That's his heart intent. The son's heart is to give his father children. It's beautiful. And guess what? We're the object of that love. Amen? You're the object of that love. Why he fusses over us so much, I do not know. I just receive it. I just receive it. I'm not going to go into unworthy stuff. I just know that he loves me 100% the way I am. You may not like me. That's okay. I just know he loves me. Amen? I want to see myself through his eyes. Okay. So he brings the bride back. He brings the bride to Jesus. It tells us a lot about God himself as I go into more and more about the marriage. That there's a new living way was opened. And that was that the veil now was split from top to bottom. The flesh of Jesus in which the bride will be inserted in the side of the bridegroom, and the two of them will be presented to the Father. So as he gives us back to Jesus as the bride, as he died on the cross for us, we become one with Jesus, the bride and the bridegroom. And then we're presented to the Father, all of us, to him. We're all presented to him. And Jesus says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. That all may be in me, and I in them, and us in him. This is all spiritual. How do we get in him, though? That's the problem. How do we get in Jesus? You know, how do we become one with him? We're talking about spiritually. The flesh, we can never get in him in the flesh. That's why we're not to live with our flesh ruling our lives. The kingdom of God is totally different. Nicodemus had that same question. He wanted to know, how can a person be born again? How can they go back into their mother's womb? That is impossible. And Jesus says, exactly. You have to be born of the Spirit. Born again of the Spirit. It is the Spirit that places us into the body of Christ. It's always the natural, even birthing. Women, when you're pregnant, it's all the natural, then the spiritual. I hear many sisters say, and men say, I am pregnant. I say, you are? Yes. I'm pregnant with God's desires, God's vision. He's got a vision that he put inside of me. Okay? And I have seen some stomach, not mine, okay? I've seen some stomachs come out as if they were pregnant. There's nothing in here but food. Okay? I have seen this. They're pregnant with a vision that God's placed on their hearts. It's just an amazing thing. And so they go through the trimesters. It's different than in the physical. But they go through trimesters, and then it's birth. And then you see this ministry established. And it's just an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. So God is teaching us how to walk in the Spirit. Okay? This church is coming to that place where we're walking in the Spirit. God's always going to present to us the natural, but then he's going to reveal the Spirit to us. So a lot of places that you go, different churches will and ministers will tell you, well, this is a mystery. God has certain mysteries in the Bible, so I can't explain it, and we just have to wait until we get to heaven. No. There are lots of scriptures in the Bible that talks about that these mysteries will be revealed. Paul said, God has given me an anointing. He's given me the anointing of Christ to reveal the mysteries of the gospel. And it's the same with everyone. If you want to know, just ask him, Lord, what does this mean? God is Spirit, and he is the Father of our spirits. And we want to understand more about who he is. So, Adam, out of his rib came a woman, Eve. And this has a lot of spiritual significance for us today. The physical, she coming out of him. And Christ himself, Christ, the corporate anointing that's on Christ, is that he is the Christ, the anointing one. He's bringing us into that corporate anointing of Jesus in the Spirit. Christ is, in the physical, he's Jesus. He's called Christ because he's the anointed one in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 and 12 to 13, you can look at that later on. It talks about the body and the head. Jesus is the head of the body. You and I are the body of Christ. He is the head of the body. And out of that, we receive the completeness of the gospel in him. He's the head. He represents that he is the Lord over us. In the physical, in marriage, first of all, we've got to remember, the woman and the man have separate entities. In the spirit, in marriage, it's the same way. Marriage, there's a head. The husband is the head. The woman is the body. And many say she's the neck that turns the head, however you want to believe, okay? But we're one, and we need each other very much. And that scripture in Corinthians is talking about the spiritual aspect of the body parts being all one member. Okay, that's what he's alluding to, is one member. Okay, so we each have a separate entity. God did not just create the man just to be a man. He did not create the woman just to be a woman. But he created you this way for a reason. Let's take a look at that. In a marriage, what is the purpose of the marriage in the first place? Most marriages, and I counsel many people in this area of marriage, they come in and they're broken and they have no vision. They don't know where they're going. They don't even know why they're really married together. But most marriages are fragmented because there's no vision. There's no purpose. They don't understand the purpose of why they're together. Why are they together? First the natural, then the spiritual. Well, the spiritual aspect is that they're to glorify God in the marriage. The wife, the Bible speaks about being subject, being submitted under the husband. Now, relax, women, because I'm going to explain that, okay? I will never tell my wife, submit to me, because the Bible says submit. If I do that, I will completely lose her. She is not going to submit to me because I said the Bible says submit. And that's not what Jesus meant anyways. What her role is and the way she exemplifies the Father is that she is a representative of who the bride is. She teaches me, as the husband, how to be a bride. How to be a bride. Okay, I don't know. I'm a male. I'm dumb. I don't see things around me. I mean, I tell you, I'm looking for our towels, and we have these big, big white towels, and I'm looking for my towel everywhere, and I'm looking in here, and I'm looking up there, and my wife says, "Is that what you're looking for right there?" I go, "Oh, thank you." I don't see things. I'm seeing out there vision. I'm saying, let's go, honey. We can do it. I empower her. My role as a husband, the Bible says, is to lay your life down for your wife. Like Christ laid his life down for the church. What does that mean? That means I will give my life for her. I will lay my life down for her. I will try to understand her. What is it about her that I need to learn and helping her respond in the right way so that she doesn't be on defense all the time? Now, I'm speaking from experience because I have blown it for many years. But now I'm beginning to understand more that my number one responsibility is to lay my life down for my wife. And guess what? Father endows it. He blesses it, and he encourages me, and then he anoints my ministry elsewhere, and he elevates me more. He does that with you too, because I'm doing what is priority, first with him, and then with my wife and my children. I am to represent God the Father in my home for my children, that he would live his destiny through me for my children. I am to live by the Holy Spirit what it means to be a husband. See, the Bible says that Jesus is your husband. He is the bridegroom. He's the bridegroom. He's the husband. Now, my role as a husband is to live out how Jesus would live that out in my household. Now, I can't do that on my own. Listen, I've gone out and I've bought all kinds of books about marriage, how to respond, what to do. I've got skills. Lots of skills. And they're okay. It's okay to have those, you guys. You need them. But eventually, it all goes out the door. I celebrate my 30th anniversary in January. We're going to redo our vows in Las Vegas on January the 2nd in 2010. So we're very excited about this. My daughter is the one that's doing all this for us. She's going to send us on a cruise. I'm just so excited about this, okay? But my role is to demonstrate the Father's love to my kids at home before I do that with you. I'm a hypocrite if I go home and I've shown you love and I go home and I'm harsh with my kids. I go home and I snap at them. I go home and I won't look my wife in the eye. Leave me alone. I want to watch the news. If I don't show that love there, I've failed. And believe me, I've been in that place and I have failed. I failed so badly and I didn't even know it. I have a ministry called the Father Heart's Love. We talk about it everywhere. And I go home and I don't show that love to her. I'm in big trouble. And said, what happened was the Lord finally convicted me. The reason why your wife is in such bad shape right now, you guys are not connected. You're still living out your provision and security around her out of your flesh. When she says something to you and you feel insecure, you respond that way. Because your security is jeopardized. Your emotional security. And I do. I have my boxing gloves up. Ready. The box. Come on. All right. Because I come from a family of five sisters and one brother. And we didn't physically fight. Oh, but maybe a couple of times when we were younger. But verbally we did. We were always in contention with each other. You know, as siblings. So I'm used to defending myself. Put on the boxing glove. Come on. And so we would go out for a nice dinner, you know, really elaborate meal. And we get in there, the atmosphere, the ambience is wonderful. We get in there, and then something's said, and then I take it wrong. So I get on defense, and I respond quickly. You know, I didn't even hear her out because I felt she pushed a button on me and that she didn't understand me. And so I'm in this place now where security and provision, okay? And I've always been on defense that way. And I'm out of my flesh. And then I respond in a very negative way, and then we're rumbling. The whole evening's ruined. And all the way home, we're quiet, and we're not even talking to one another. I've been there, done that. I hate that. There has to be a solution to all this, and I got tired of it. Lord, it's either your way or no way. You got to show me how to walk this walk in marriage because I want everything that marriage has to offer me in this world. And the Lord says, good, because the things that marriage has to offer you is not about you. Marriage isn't about you. It's about me. Oh, okay. I see. So now I have vision. The vision is I want to empower my wife. I want her to become everything that God has called her to be. If I'm like that with the poor and the needy when I go out there, I must be like that with my wife. That's just a natural response as God gives me the love that I need for me to pour it out on my wife first and then my children and then everything else happens. And God anoints everything else. First at home. First with God, then at home. Okay, so I'm learning. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm learning. Now, her response to that. I watched as the days went on, as I had vision for my wife to love her, to empower her, to allow God to use me to get her to be all that she's supposed to be as an individual, as what God has for her, to lay my life down for her. Guess what? She responds to that, and I get empowered. She naturally submits because that's what God put in her. She wants to be in that place because that's where she's secure at. She wants to be in that place where she can look into the eyes of her husband with no animosity, no fear, no second guessing, does he really love me? And some women for all of their lives will go on for 30 to 50 years and never know if their husband really loves them. You see, husbands, your job isn't just to provide for your husband. women never choose a man based on what he earns and what he has. Because if you do that, you're putting value on him. And that might be there today and gone tomorrow. And he knows it. He knows what you're doing. Don't do that. I'm talking about that this marriage isn't about us. It's not about the physical. It's about him. It's about the kingdom. It's about God being magnified, being revealed through us as we love one another. And then we get to share the benefits of that. The woman is the object of the husband's love and affection. She's the object of that. As he gives her that love and affection, she responds to that. She automatically lays her life down for him. She respects him. He doesn't have to have a lot of money for that. Now, what happens when he doesn't and he lords his authority over her, or he's never there? He's not there to help her, to encourage her, you know, especially when she has those emotional down times and he's not there for her. Well, she's also moving in the area of security and provision, right? All right. So she says, okay, I'm going to have to wear the belt and the pants in the family now, tighten the belt. And she tries to mimic the man in the household. She becomes sometimes begin to be naggy in the home, oftentimes because she's insecure inside. She nags. She torments him. He's tormented. She's tormenting her. Satan loves this. He loves it so much. And so she's in this thing where she does all the disciplinary acts in the family. Everything is out of whack now. She's not living out the creative purposes that she's supposed to be, because she's got to protect her emotions. She's got to protect herself because she knows she's not loved. It's called survival now. And because she's hurt, she begins to raise her children out of the pain and out of the hurt and the distance of her husband. She's made to be subject to him and to bless him and to respond to him in many different ways. But she can't do it because she's been taken advantage of and she's hurt. So what does she do? She rebels in her heart. She closed down in her heart. But she's still got to survive. But she parents those children out of those wounds and hurts. And now it's multiplied. And the maternal love that she's supposed to be giving them is not there. So what happens? She's no longer demonstrating what it means to be a bride in the home. You see, if she was demonstrating what it means to be a bride in the home, she would bring that love to her children as well. And her children would see it, and they would be so blessed. And they would easily come to Jesus at the right time, because they've seen him through the mother. The father, if he loves his wife, she's the object of that love. She will respond automatically for him. Okay, the wife cannot play the role of the father. She cannot be the husband in the home. It just doesn't happen. And she cannot make him be what she wants him to be. And vice versa. Men, any of you men that are married right now, if you are trying to make your wife think like you, be like you, it ain't going to work. It's not going to work. You would be miserable. I get in my office women that come in with their husbands, and we find out that the husband's been trying to get her to be just like him. You can't have two men in the home and love each other. I don't want my wife thinking like me. I need her to think how she thinks. I need her to be all that she's supposed to be, because God has put something in her for me that's unique, that nobody else can give me. God has put something in her for himself that nobody else can reproduce. She has to be free to be all that she is. Does this make sense? And so it's not about me. It's about who I'm representing. And I am seeing such results now in the family. I tell you, it's amazing. I'm seeing my kids change. I'm seeing everything change. I was at the point, and I'm sorry I'm talking so much about me, but I just want to maybe give the reality of what I'm talking about, okay? that the Father really wants to bless us. His heart is to bless us, but He wants us to live out the kingdom norms. You see, I didn't always live it out. I took my wife somewhere to a hotel in Macau, and I said, honey, we're going to close down for 3 days. And we're not leaving until we resolve all the issues necessary that I placed under the rug for years and not resolved with you. She says, no, I'm not going to go there with you. I said, how come, honey? She said, because you're just going to defend yourself. You know, everything that I say, you're going to say, no, I didn't do that. I didn't say that. I didn't do that. And I said, you know what, honey? I promise I'll let down all my guards. All I want to do, it's not about who's going to be right or wrong. All I want to do is to get things right with us so we can go on with each other and love each other the way we're supposed to. She said, okay. But the moment you start defending yourself, I'm closing down. I said, okay. It's not going to happen like before. So we got in the hotel room, and that first night, I didn't know what I was going to say. There was just so much that I needed to talk to her about. And all I could say was, I'm just sorry. I fell at her feet, laid my head in her lap, and I just wept and wept and wept because I saw that I did not represent God the Father in my home. I was not a husband to my wife the way that Jesus is a husband to us in the body of Christ. You see the parallels? The body of Christ. My wife is supposed to teach me how to be a bride to Jesus, the groom. She couldn't do that because I had her bound up inside emotionally. But here I was at this time, by God's grace, with the spirit of repentance on me, weeping uncontrollably for about 4 hours, broken, shaking, just, please forgive me. And if you don't forgive me, I don't blame you. I just felt like the lowest person on the face of this earth. And I just admitted, you know, I'm a terrible husband. I failed you. She probably would never have said that, but I know I was. And at that point, I had to get to that point to wake up and come out of denial. You see, it's so hard for us as males, and I hope none of you males feel like I'm spanking you at all, okay? I just want to share with you my heart because I really love the body of Christ, and I want to see us really grow in maturity and experience all that He has for us, and that we would see the experience the impossible. And so as I was with her and I began to continually just confess, she finally forgave me. And she went out for a while for a walk. And when she came back in Arlie, I was still in the bed just shaking because I was just so tired of being such a failure in my family. And from that point on, we decided we want to live out what the Bible says about marriage. I'm supposed to be the spiritual husband in the family, that Jesus will live out His husbandry in this home. I'm supposed to allow the Father to live out His destiny through me at home with my children so they'll see Him as a Father. And when that started happening, I started watching my wife respond in wonderful ways. And now we're like little children in different places, you know. I mean, she could be in the audience and wink at me, you know. And sometimes that renewed refreshness of smiling with each other, like children. It is so much fun to be with her. And vice versa, it's all renewed. So I am looking forward to the next 30 years. If the Lord let me live another 30 years. I'm 56 now, so I'm hoping that would happen. And the renewal of our vows. And so I just want to encourage you. There's so much in this. Like I'm saying, I'm only just beginning with this, actually. It's Him that places us in the body of Christ by His Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that brings us to that place where we're in communion with the Father. The kingdom of God is what we want to live the norms by. Now, I know that some of us, there's certain things that affects us, especially like in this area of marriage. Certain things like your culture. And we have several kinds of different kinds of cultures represented here and different kinds of norms. The way you see the Bible, the way you interpret the Bible, it's based on those backgrounds that you have, okay? And we have to look at that and say, okay, this culture that I've come out of, Is it really biblical that I'm living? Is it the kingdom? Okay? Is it the kingdom? Or is it not? So I want to encourage you, men, the type of woman you want is a woman that really has her eyes on Jesus and loves Jesus very much. And you can watch her in action. You can see how submitted she is to Jesus and get an idea of what she would be like in marriage. That's how you know. Women, the guys that you want to look at is a man that really desires to be like God, walk like God. It's not always about works, but he respects you. And as a brother, I just want to share with you the brother. This is in your relationship if you're single. You see, single life is a blessing. It's not a curse. Single life is, and I bless you as a single person. It should be the greatest time of your life right now because you're available. Okay? You are available. But as a single person, you also just come into that relationship that the kingdom of God is number one. That I want to be in that place where people can see who you are, just like nature, through my life, through my attitude, and everything I do. When I talk to my sisters, that they see that they're not the object of my lust. They're not objects. I see women completely different now. Okay? You know, I can look out here and tell you characteristics of different ones out here right now that blesses my soul. I can tell you different men that I've been with here. Their characteristics in God blesses me. And I look for that when I see them. It keeps me from judging anyone. I can look at Charles over here, and I know that Charles loves God and he loves the things of God. He loves when God is doing something and that's significant in the world, when God's always doing something significant in the world. He responds and says, how can I be of help? How can I get in there? What resources do I have to be a part of that? That teaches me a lot about God because God's like that. He's one of those people. I can look at Nate. And Nate has such a heart of worship. He loves the face of God. And it challenges me to want to be like that, the way he is. He has a hunger for truth, a hunger and a passion for God. And when you're around him, you can feel that. And so what God is doing is he wants us to fellowship in truth, not always looking at the outward appearance of things. But look at the kingdom. Look at people through the eyes of God, how you see them, how you evaluate them. And he will bless you. And I bless you. So single people, don't, you know, this is a blessing for you right now. And as you are submitted to Jesus, first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be given unto you. As you're submitted to Jesus and you're loving him, guess what? There's going to be a man that's going to be around sometime because you're not really looking for him, hopefully. Because a man does not make you complete, right? No man can make you complete. If you go into a relationship thinking, oh, he's going to make me happy, I'm going to be complete, people are going to see me differently now, I'm telling you, that's a lie from the enemy. That's a lie, okay? You can't go into it like that. Be about the kingdom. And God's going to bless you. And that young man's going to see you. God will give him eyes for you. And he'll see your character. And he's going to say in his heart, I will lay my life down for this person. And he'll say, you know what? I will die for her. And it won't be this game going on. Oh, well, maybe I love you, maybe I don't. And she's guessing. We're going out on dates and she's scared. She doesn't know what's going to happen. She's nervous because I don't know if he's really going to keep me around. No. When he knows that he knows inside, I'm willing to lay my life down for you. Not based because you're beautiful. That is a big mistake. I know models in Hong Kong that I've worked with who are stunning. They're beautiful. But their character is really messed up. And they don't look so beautiful anymore. And when they go on stage, their faces, they're drunk or high or something. Okay? They just don't feel good about themselves. You tell them they're beautiful? No, I'm not beautiful. Don't base it on that. And everybody's going to get old. The natural, first the natural, then the spiritual. Everything in the natural is going to die. Everything that's spiritual will live forever. Amen? Okay, so I just bless you with that. And this is my heart right now. I know I'm taking a little bit over time. I asked the Lord if I should really do this. And if there's any men that want to join me, you can. I just want to just talk to you women, and I want to say this to you. On the behalf of us men, I do seek your forgiveness for the way that we have exploited you in many different ways as being the object of our eyes to be used, to be taken advantage of, to be the one that will fulfill us emotionally, and then when we're finished with you, find someone else. I repent and ask forgiveness on behalf of us men in the way that we've treated you, the way we've damaged you, the way we've hurt you, misled you. I ask your forgiveness because I want to see you released from that. I want to see you released from the sting of that. I want you to be free from the way that you have always felt used at different times. And some of you have views about us as men because of what we've done to you. Some of you hate us. Some of you think that we're very surface and stupid and many different things. I can understand why you feel that way. That's up to you. But from our side, if any men agree with me, I'd just like for you to stand up. It takes a level of humility. If you agree to what I'm saying right now as men, would you stand up with me? That's good. And I just want to say on behalf of us men, we're sorry. Forgive us. And any of you men that want to go on and be about kingdom business, to be the representatives of your family or your future family or your sisters right now, as in your situation if you're single, that the Son of God will live through you as the Son and bless them. And that the Father's love through you will live through, He will live through you to bless your sisters and to release them. If any of you are like that, I want you just to put your hands out and I'm going to pray for you. That you want to be a blessing to them. And God will release you in ministries among women, and the women will support you in many ways because they feel safe. Women first, would you forgive us for any atrocities or anything that you've sensed from us that used you or didn't honor you? Could I have you respond corporately if you're willing to forgive us and release us? You forgive us? Thank you. Father, I bless each one of these men. And I know they have a heart for you. That they would play their roles very well. And that you would live your life through them. That you would open their eyes to the spiritual aspect around them. That their spirit, that they would walk in the spirit. That their spirit would be connected to yours in union with you. And that they would be a blessing to females. And release them and empower them to be all that they need to be. That the singles here, Lord, would know in wisdom how to empower the males, females around them to be all that they need to be. And that the females would feel safe around them. Father, I bless them. Receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit as sons. As sons. And I just break away any strongholds in your minds. And maybe some of the wrong models that you may have seen in your families where fathers did not demonstrate in front of you what it's like to respect a woman. They didn't lay their lives down for their wives. I just speak you to be empowered by the Holy Spirit now. And I break the false image that you've seen and witnessed in Jesus' name. The stronghold in your mind to be replaced with the truths about Jesus. And how he treated females and how he saw females and their value. Their value is not based upon what they do, Their value is that they are sons before God. And so we bless you, men of God, and your humility to stand up. I bless you with the grace to find those individuals that you know that you've hurt, or to write them a letter that you did not demonstrate, like I didn't demonstrate to my wife, what it means to be a man of God, what it means to be representative of who God the Father is, what it means to be a brother. I bless you with the grace to reconcile, to restore what's been broken and release them in Jesus' name. Lord, bless them, Father, that they would be men of God that demonstrates the kingdom of God, that they will be ones that represent you in every way of their lives, Father. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If I can have the women stand up, if you like to, if you've forgiven us, I'd like for you to stand up for a moment. Some of you have been battered. Some of you have been hurt, taken advantage of, tricked. And some of you retaliated in many ways and vindicated yourselves in many ways, distanced yourself in many ways. And some of you are hiding even right now. Some of you are still hiding, and you're afraid to allow yourself to be vulnerable. You've lost the innocence of your vulnerability because you're afraid of vulnerability, because you've been taken advantage of, either by father or by other men. And we've already asked your forgiveness for that as a church. And we want to release you from the hurt and the pain. And we want to say to you that we, as men who stood up, we're here for you. And we want you to feel safe around us, that we will never take advantage of you, and that we trust you, that you will never take advantage of us. I bless you that you may play your role very well as the bride of Christ, and teach us as men how to be a bride, because we don't know how. May the grace of the Lord be upon you to help us in that area, that when people see us both, they see a demonstration of Father's love, God's love for the world, that he would live out his destiny through you. I release you from all the pain. I release you from deception. I release you from feeling that you're supposed to be used in this world. I release you from culture that says that you're to submit by an authority because you have to. I release you from legalism. And I release you to be all that God's called you to be as a woman. All that he's called you to be, to empower you. Be blessed. I release the single women to be fulfilled in satisfaction in your relationship to Jesus as your husband, that would be real to you. I bless you. I bless you to be in the fullness of God and to walk in the kingdom of God, to get rid of the mixtures and be free. In Jesus' name, amen.